I think you're absolutely right, and sooner than later, don't you think?
Well, they have a time scale. Now, I was saying in the late 90s that their time scale was behind schedule because, you know, for whatever reason, the window around 2012 is very important to these people. And what happened then was 9/11. And 9/11 has enormously caught up with their time scale. Not necessarily caught up, but it's advanced it very quickly for obvious reasons. And that, I would strongly suggest, is why it happened. They have a time scale for the European Union, and this threatens to knock it out if they take a long time to sort out this crisis that their agenda is facing at the moment over here. But also on the same subject, as the problems continue in Iraq, as the memory of 9/11 starts to fade and becomes less effective mm-hmm. in justifying the advancement of the Orwellian agenda. There's no doubt, George, 9/11 in other forms is in their pipeline. And my understanding, the more people I talk to, is that 2006 seems to be a year when they might play some of these cards, because to create public, again, everything that we're talking about tonight, no matter what level of it we're talking about, they all interconnect. What we're talking about in advancing this agenda is mind manipulation, reality manipulation. Because they manipulated the reality of the vast majority of people that the basic story of 9/11 was correct, then certain things were allowed, like the invasion of Afghanistan and changes in the Patriot Act and all this stuff. So they are going to be adding to that so that the increasing resistance to this whole agenda starts to be broken down by, hey, you know, I know it's bad, but we've got to do something with what's happening in the world. It's another terrorism and all that stuff. So, you know, we have got to be very, very wary when these events happen and ask a simple question. Who benefits? Who benefits from 9/11? Not the people who died. Not the Arab world. Who benefits? Who benefits is anyone that wanted to take basic freedoms away and launch a war on terrorism, which is actually a war by terrorists, in fact.
See, I've always asked myself that same question. Let's clear up this one thing, though, David. Do you believe that this group that helped orchestrate this involved some of these crazed fundamentalists to do the dirty deed, or do you think that they didn't do anything? See, I believe that the Bin Ladens of life were truly involved as well.
Well, when you look at a secret society, it is broken up into levels of degree. Now, levels of degree equals levels of knowledge of what's going on. And all these situations, even like 9/11, they are compartmentalized in terms of how much people know. And there's no doubt that there are people involved in so-called terrorist acts. In fact, not even so-called. When I say so-called, I mean, you know, blaming the wrong people. But there are people who are genuinely involved in terrorist acts who have no idea, going back up the hierarchy, who's actually behind what they're doing. They can think that Master is Mr. A when it's Mr. Z. And so it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's not easy, to say the least, to be definitive on this, and it would be stupid for anyone to think they can be. But my feeling is that an enormous amount of the, or all, really, the fundamental setup and engineering of 9/11 was not involving the Arab world at all. And I'm still unconvinced about the official story of Arab terrorists. In fact, the more that I come across the emerging information about the planes involved and what have you, the less credible this whole thing seems to be. Certainly, Certainly. I mean, again, you know, intelligent life calling planet Earth. Certainly, people who were incompetent pilots of Cessna aircraft are not going to park 767, 757s perfectly into these buildings. I mean, please. The very idea that people can put those two things, see those two things and not put two and two together, that one is not going to do the other, it just beggars belief. So for me, the whole 19 hijackers story is fundamentally flawed. And I think at the very least, the input from the Arab world was tiny. In terms of, or in contrast to the engineering of it within the borders of the United States.
You see,
9/11 was created as a problem to get a reaction of outrage and fear and terror, exactly, and understandable, to get the ability to offer the solution, which has been changes in society that George Orwell, on whatever dimension he may be, must be shaking his head and saying, I told you so.
And changes that we have only seen the tip of the iceberg, David.
You're correct. And like I said a few minutes ago, George, to push people further on down this road to global centralized fascism, they are going to need more 9/11 type events to create problems, to create the reaction, to offer the solutions. Because 9/11 is not by itself going to be enough to get people to go with this to the level, you quite rightly say, that they plan to do it. I mean, people say, what would the world be like if these guys complete their agenda? Well, think of Nazi Germany. Make it global. There you go. That's what we want. That's what I've been saying for 15 years. And now, you know, with.
And you're not backing down at all on this, are you?
No, not at all. No, not least, George, because, you know, I'm not, you know, the fountain of all knowledge. And you know, is every last thing that I say all right, 100% true? Are you kidding? We're trying to understand something that doesn't want to be understood here. But the themes and a great deal of the fine detail is now in front of our face. One of the things that I was talking about years ago, and this is very relevant to what we were talking about earlier in terms of reality and the biological computer, is the microchip. What they're doing now, they're talking about ID cards. This is the totalitarian tiptoe, mate. What they want is microchip people. They want a situation, like I've been saying for 15 years or more, they want a situation where every baby at birth is microchipped. And we're now having nightclubs in places like Spain microchipping people so that they can get through the door and beat the queues easier. I mean, it's all areas are now beginning to justify this, particularly something called the Very Chip, which comes out of America. And when you understand the nature of the physical form and the nature of the reality that we're in, the biological computer, you start to see the potential, the real potential behind the microchip. Back in about 98, I met a CIA scientist who asked to meet me because he wanted to get out what he couldn't himself. And he told me that they had microchips outside the public arena in the secret projects, which is light years ahead of the technology we see in the public arena, which are so small they could be inserted by a hypodermic needle in vaccination programs. But he said this, very important. He said it's not just electronic tagging, so some computer knows where everyone is. It's not just what the microchip sends to the computer, it's what's sent the other way. And he said they can, from a central point, once people are microchipped, they can manipulate them emotionally. Why? Because emotions come through and are an expression of the biological computer, the DNA. They can manipulate you mentally, same reason, and they can manipulate you physically. And when you look at a computer, it has a central processing unit, which is actually known as the brain of the computer by many people. And the central processing unit in the biological computer we call the physical body is the physical brain, the human brain. Now, in a computer, the CPU, the central processing unit, is a microchip. Once they get a microchip inside us, which are far more sophisticated than they're telling us, they can manipulate the communication going around the computer, around the body. And that communication involves emotional communication. This is why when we feel emotions, we create chemicals in the body. This is why when we receive chemicals, it affects us emotionally, because one is a reflection of the other. It can affect the way we think and our ability to think by rewiring, if you like, the messages are going around the computer, and fundamentally it can affect us physically. And they can isolate someone individually, or they can do it en masse once they get a microchip. Now, that's the real agenda behind the microchip. And anyone that says, it'll make things ever so much easier. You know, I can go through to the supermarket and I can just put me microchip on me hand and pay me bill, and it's ever so quick, and no queues now. Well, you know, do you want a queue in the supermarket for 10 minutes, or do you want your mind, your emotions, and your physical body control taken away from you? Hey, a bit of a choice there. Which one shall I make? Because that's the choice we're facing.
How do they come up with the plan to force people to do this, David? Because I think it's going to come down to where they say, you can't get a job, folks, unless you have one, or we're going to do away with cash, so you have to have a chip. That's the only way you're going to be able to get by.
Perfect summary, George. Absolutely. What they're doing in this country, Mr. Blair, who is a, you know, front man, clone, yes man for this Illuminati. That's why he gets manipulated into power. Do you know we have in this great democracy, Great Britain, you know, we now have a government with absolute power, Blair, in his third term, and he got 35% of the vote. 65% of the people of this country voted against him, and he got absolute power. But we live in a free world. The people have spoken. I've got my mandate, he said. Nonsense, but that's the way it works. But what they're doing now is they're bringing proposing ID cards, totalitarian tiptoe. What they're saying, first of all, is, oh, it's only voluntary. You know, you don't have to have one. But then what they start doing is, as you rightly say, is suddenly, well, if you're unemployed, you can't get your unemployment benefit unless you have a card. Oh, and you can't do this unless you have an ID card, because we need ID. And what they're saying is, eventually, a few years after they're first introduced, they're going to be compulsory. And you will not be able to function without an identity card. Now, because we haven't yet seen the other little horrors they have up their sleeves, their future 9/11s of various kinds, we are now looking at ID cards, and we're thinking, oh, well, they're not coming in until 2000 and whatever. But that's what they're saying now, and they're talking ID cards now. My feeling is that there is a very good chance that they won't be talking ID cards by the time ID cards become compulsory. They'll be talking microchips.
When we come back, David, and we'll take phone calls next, is there this bigger picture of why? What do they know that maybe we don't? Is something happening that they think they need total control worldwide? Do they know there's an asteroid coming? What do you think it is? We'll be right back. I tell you, David, they're going to sneak these microchips in our system by probably putting them in some kind of a vaccine, and we won't even know it.
Well, there's a whole agenda in the background that has been planned for a very long time. When I started investigating this a long time ago now, it became increasingly clear that this agenda is not projected forward a few weeks, a few months, even a few years. It's projected decades ahead. And when you start to realize that the agenda's focus is not in this dimension, then you can start to understand why, in our relationship to time, which doesn't exist anyway, part of the illusion, they can project so far ahead, because they are coming from a completely different point of observation of this reality than we are. So what we find ridiculous and impossible becomes perfectly understandable. While people have been said to me, and I understand the question, you know, how come that people back in the days of Benjamin Franklin and earlier were giving their lives to this agenda? And the answer is because while in our reality we saw people in, you know, big hats and long coats, or further back in other historical situations. In fact, that was only what we were perceiving in the illusion of what I call the time loop, this five sense reality. In other dimensions, the focus of the manipulation was not operating in those times at all, in those situations. They were just manipulating this reality from their own reality, and therefore they can project things a long way ahead from our perspective of time, which we would find impossible if we just accepted that this reality is all that exists.
All right, let's go to the phones. First time caller line, where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a first time caller, but you can take my call.
All right. Well, you're on the first time caller line, however that happened, but we'll let you in this time.
Wonderful. My name is Heather. I'm calling from Eureka, California, and I had some questions for your wonderful guest.
All right, go ahead.
I grew up Mormon, and the further away I got, the more objective I look at it, and the creepier things I start to see and understand. And I would like your guest to comment on the connection between the Mormon Church and the reptilian oppressors. I'm also interested, he brought up in Children of the Matrix, satanic ritual abuse, and their possible connection to, you know, the reptilian Illuminati. And I'm also wondering if he's seen a connection between the Mormon Church and satanic ritual abuse, you know, in relation to this whole connection to the Illuminati.
All right, I'll let you touch on that, David. I really don't want to go after different religions right now. That's a whole program all by itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you've got 3 hours, I could answer the question. But it's in my books. I have actually a chapter in the new book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, called The God Program, and in which I show that the different religions actually operate to the same computer program. And it is about putting walls around people's sense of reality, limiting their sense of possibility, so that they operate within a fraction of the illusion. It's an illusion within an illusion. And once you have whatever your belief is, and religious belief is the most profound, your belief will repel all borders that challenge that belief, unless, like Heather, you start to see through it and open your mind to a bigger possibility. So religion is a fundamental controlling mechanism. I thought about having some T-shirts made, God Save Us From Religion, on the front, because the spirituality and religion is not the same thing. There can be spiritual people who express that through religion. Yes, of course, I'm not knocking that. And if people want to follow a religion, great. But we all have our different view. But religion is a great, great form of control. And it's interesting when you look at the background to religion, how the common sources keep coming up of the so-called different religions. It's very clear, and you're talking to Quetta Mutwa 3 weeks ago about the African perspective, it's very clear that if you go back in our version of time far enough, you find a global culture. And that global culture had a global knowledge. And what happened is, for various reasons, the global situation got broken up, and the original knowledge went off in different directions, called different names, and got changed in different ways. But the same basic fundamental thing was there. Just as, for instance, in Africa, they throw carved bones as part of predicting the future. So we have the tarot cards. It's exactly the same principle. It's just that they do it differently. The rune stones and animal bones. You go around the world and you find these different ways of doing the same thing, because originally they came from a global knowledge. And again, when you look at the Mormon Church, and I won't go into that in detail now, it'll take too long, but when you look at the Mormon Church and you look at where it came from, it was created by Freemasons. Joseph Smith was a Freemason. Brigham Young was a Freemason. They came, both of them, from the Merovingian bloodline goes back to the Merovingian kings in France, which is a very, very significant, to say the least, Illuminati bloodline, which I've talked about in the books for years. And they created another version of the God program, because when you break them down, as I do in the book, it's amazing how similar they are. The differences are like window dressing and language. And they created another prison religion, as I call them, to imprison the minds of those that are manipulated to advocate it. And what it's doing is saying, this is the truth, this is what you must believe, and if you don't, these are the consequences for not doing so. That's what the God program does all the time, whether it's the Muslim religion or the Christian religion or whatever. And in terms of satanic ritual, well, it's amazing how that comes up in various aspects of all the religions, not least the Roman Catholic religion. But certainly, I have met people, and I haven't gone looking for them, in many parts of particularly America, for obvious reasons, who have experienced these rituals. And the hierarchy of the Mormon Church, like so many hierarchies, says one thing, but I have no doubt whatsoever from my own research, they do something and believe something very differently. And if you want to hide something, there's nothing better than to hide it behind something that's supposed to stand for the opposite. There's no better way of running drugs than through an anti-drug agency, because no one looks that way. No, they're anti-drugs. They're an anti-drug agency. Why? They wouldn't run drugs. What? They're religious. They wouldn't do satanic rituals. It's the same principle. Well, they do, and it's amazingly more common than people will even begin to think, if they get their information from the mainstream media. Mormon Church is a sick organization, deeply sick, and the people who are manipulated need to know that. And I'll tell you a quick story. I actually went to Salt Lake City, and I went to the Mormon temple. Wouldn't allow me in because I'm not a Mormon, but two lovely, lovely girls came up to me. One was from, I think, Bangkok. The other one was definitely from Hong Kong. And they had saved up for years to get the money to pay their expenses to come over and serve the church. And what they were doing was taking people around and trying to sell the church to them. And when I asked some fundamental questions about how the church was created, who created it, and this, that, and the other, not being aggressive, just out of interest, if they knew, they hadn't got a clue. And this is how religion works. This is how society works through Illuminati control.